one gospel, one church, one cry.
Man, if you cut my wrists, I would bleed that.
That is so powerful. I could sit here and listen to that kind of story all day long, and I'm sure you have so many of them.
Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. Hello, everyone. I am excited for you to meet Joachim Magnus today. Joachim is a leader of a city movement in Oslo, Norway, and he has been at this work for a few years in Oslo. And while their city movement is fairly young, they are applying principles that are applicable to movements regardless of the amount of history in a city. Joachim, it's great to have you on the podcast, and I am excited for our listeners to hear your story and learn from your experience in Oslo.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be part of this podcast.
Joachim, it helped to hear about your story both personally and professionally. Can you tell us about yourself as we start off this podcast?
Yeah, my name is Joachim, and I grew up a little bit north of Oslo. I sometimes call myself a brainwashed missionary kid. I'm a missionary kid in the ordinary sense, living abroad, but my parents were leading YWAM, Youth with a Mission, mm-hmm. in Norway and North Europe, so I was brought up in that kind of mission context. But after I was out of high school, I did the army. I went out to explore the world. I traveled for 3-4 years and starting up Bible schools in Australia. But after that, when I came home, I was starting struggling with my health and had actually 4 or 5 years in bed. I was able to study that time. My brain worked, but my body was off. I had something called chronic fatigue. But that was a really, really tough time in my 20s. But I studied, and my education, I'm a history, English, and religious teacher. But after I told God that, hey, until you heal me, I'll study. Because when I was very young, I felt God called me to full-time ministry when I was 6 years old. So I always knew that. But my body didn't function, so I was just in Oslo studying. And when I was better, I moved to South Africa for a year to study the Bible. To surf and climb, because that's my favorite.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad. And there I met an American girl, Elise, which had now become my wife. So it was a good trip to South Africa. And she came to Norway, and we got married. And during that time, we were thinking, okay, what are we going to use our life for? I was getting out of my sickness. I was able to work again. And that's when we were called to start Youth with a Mission in Oslo. It was something we actually didn't want to do. It's like I've been living in Oslo for 10 years almost, and I was like, being a prophet or a missionary in your own town.
That's not easy.
No, it's not easy. So I thought, oh God, I don't want to do it. You know, send me somewhere else in the world. But I felt he said yes, and do it in Oslo. And so we started Youth with a Mission Oslo, and we've been running that for 6 years. And it's been fun. And our vision is to train everyday disciples to change the city. So already there in that, God was starting to mold my thing. It's not about starting a missionary work or Youth with a Mission YWAM work. It's about, I want you to be in Oslo to change the city. And that was kind of the starting point for me to get involved in more with city thinking, theology. How, you know, what do we do to change the city? And the most exciting thing we've been doing here is a Bible study for people who don't have time to go to Bible school. So we've been running that for 6 years. And it's been crazy. In this August now we started, we're about 600 people.
Oh my goodness.
Coming to young adults. And so some of them had to leave because there wasn't room for them. And now it's about 530 people who signed up for the whole semester. So that's a sign of hope, because it's only a Bible study, 2 hours of teaching. It's no show. It's just fellowship around food and the Bible.
That is really exciting to think about a generation that's being raised up to think about how their faith interacts with the goodness and the flourishing of their city.
Yeah, so that's true. And then 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, actually, I got this random email from somebody I didn't know asking me, says, hey, do you want to be part of planning a huge conference in New York in 2016 about city transformation. And I was like, I don't know if you got the right guy. Pray about it. And I prayed. I went to South Africa. And to make a long story a little bit shorter, I was able to bring 12 main pastors and organizational leaders from Oslo to New York. And that was the beginning of what we call Beveg Byen, or Move the City. It's the name of our unity movement here. And now I, from this August, I'm employed as the CEO or the leader of that kind of movement here in Oslo. Just for 20%, we're starting slow. So I'm just working one day a week with it. But it's the same vision as the Wyvern work I'm leading. We want to change Oslo. So it's kind of two jobs I have, but it's all about transformation in the city.
Can you say the name of the group again?
Beveg Byen. It's Move the City, if you literally translate. In America, I mean, they call it the Movement Day, but we wanted a Norwegian name. And so that's kind of our little, yeah.
I love that. For those of us who are not familiar with the culture of Oslo, can you give us some context into what your city's like? Can you help us also understand how the church is viewed in Oslo? Help us understand the cultural climate that you're living in.
Yeah. Oslo is the capital of Norway. It's about 600,000 inhabitants. If you do the surroundings, it's about 1 million. And Norway is a little country, a small country. It's about 5 million. People, so about 20% of our population live in or around Oslo. It's a wealthy city, maybe one of the most wealthy city in the world. It's highly educated, and it's little poverty, but there are some, but it's highly secular. It's a very push in Norway, but especially in Oslo, away from God, away from the Bible. And it's actually become quite bad, I feel, lately. And it's almost like the speed is just, yeah, it's picking up about moving away from our Christian heritage. So that's an interesting kind of situation. It's really a post-Christian, I would say, city in many ways. And the church is, it feels that. And then Norwegian State Church, which is not really a part of the state anymore, but anyway, we call it that, which is a big Lutheran church in Norway, has also been secularized in quite a big way. In my view, it's left a little bit of the biblical authority it stands on. We just did a survey in Oslo, so we found that it's about 4.8% who goes to church once a month or more. So it's not horrible, but it's not great either. So it's about 32,000 people going to church, and that's including the Catholic Church, the Orthodox, the Lutheran State Church, and all kind of Pentecost church. So that's a little bit about the city's how it's going. So the churches, I wouldn't say, are highly influential in the city. I think a lot of people here wouldn't think that the church has much to say or are very visible in the picture. And I think a lot of people think Christianity is a little bit irrelevant, especially an old-fashioned, and that we are kind of dark men, that we call it in Norwegian, like from the past, coming with old morals, and yeah.
Yeah, very traditional. How is this relevant? We're so past that kind of thinking.
Very much we're past that. Oh man, we're living in 2018. How can you believe this? In many ways, I think people look at, especially conservative Christians, almost as a threat to their lifestyle. I want to live this way. How can you dare to tell me this is not okay? I want to live out from my feelings, my emotions. This is how I think love is. So I think in many people, they look at it as a threat almost for their way of living, their freedom of expression.
That sounds a lot like my city of Portland, Oregon. And I know for many who are listening, it sounds like their city too.
Yeah.
One thing I want to press into is the relevancy factor that you had mentioned. I was talking to a leader just this week who leads great collaborative work in my city of Portland, Oregon. She was saying that in order for the church to survive and thrive going forward, the church is going to have to adapt a more collaborative and united way of interacting with herself in a city. What are your thoughts on the way that the church needs to adapt in its collaborative practice going forward if the church is to survive and even thrive?
I agree. I think some of, you know, the enemy's easiest way or best tactics or strategy is to get the church, you know, enemies against each other to create disunity instead of unity. And so I think even, especially today when there are so many issues and debate about the Bible, Christianity, I think it's a desperate need to come together as leaders and as churches and to have fellowship and to get to know each other. Because if people are out in the media or having a hard time or people are coming with accusation, you know, there's a relationship to talk about it. It's like, hey, I know this guy, I don't think this is right. And but if we all are on our own, it's, you feel more lonely, you feel you're not that big or powerful, and it's easier that misunderstanding will happen. So I definitely think that part of unity thing is to feel, oh, we're actually quite a few, there are more of us, and to share our struggles but also our victory. I also believe in the package, like people need different, you need to communicate in a different way. They're post-Christian, they don't know the Bible, they don't know the stories, they have a lot of baggage against Christianity. But at the same time, I think it's very important we don't change the message. The gospel is the gospel, and it might be offensive to some today, but we still need to preach it, though we could use, you know, a different word or package sometimes. But yeah.
That's good. Those are really helpful insights. Joachim, you had mentioned this gathering in 2016 called Movement Day in New York City. God had already been stirring in your heart and in your city a passion for city movements. God was bringing leaders together and you were starting to think this way. For those of you who are listening and may not be familiar with Movement Day is an amazing catalytic gathering for people to start thinking about city movements. Marketplace leaders, faith leaders, nonprofit leaders, and the like all gather together in a city to start a conversation around collaboration and city transformation. Can you tell us about your experience at that Movement Day in 2016? And how did it accelerate what God was already doing in your heart and in the hearts of other Oslo leaders?
Yeah, I think first of all, I must admit that I was a little bit scared coming there because I brought pastors, has been pastors a lot longer than me, bigger churches than the work I have. And I really had to, you know, some of them I felt that drag a little bit alone. I said, hey, you have to come here, please. And so I said, it's going to be a great conference, but I never attended one. So I must say the first day I was like, ooh, hope this is good. But it was a great experience. And I think we, in different ways, all the 12 of us who were there, we were met by God in different ways and touched. Especially the theology or the way of thinking that, hey, we're not just pastors and leaders for our ministry, but we are for our city. But I think also the impact was good just to get new teaching and hear stories. But I also think just the relationship, when you go on a trip abroad, you fly together, you're staying in the same hotel, you eat together, we're out having fun at New York City. I think that was maybe even more important because we got to know each other and we were like, hey, we want to hang out more. We have fun together.
Yes.
So what happened after we came home is like, hey, we need to figure out why we went there. You know, what is God doing? And so we met for a breakfast and prayer. And we decided, hey, let's meet every 6 weeks for breakfast and prayer. And just let's see where it goes, where it'll take us. And so that's kind of the story, how we started. We just said we need to meet. And those 12 kind of now been forming the board of the ministry.
So that was 2016. Can you give us an update of what has happened since then and where you feel like God leading you in the future?
The first thing after when we met, we felt, hey, we have to go slow. It's better to go slow and thorough than to jump too quickly into action. Because I think we love programs or Christian. I actually don't like programs too much. But anyway, we're so wired to think like action, jump on doing it. But you know, like unity is, we need to build a bridge strong enough for things to pass over, you know. Yeah, so then whenever we move over, we can handle it. And so we said, hey, we need to just become friends first. We need to build relationships that are strong, that we really enjoy each other. So that was the focus in the beginning, and just praying. We said, hey, let's not just jump into doing tons of stuff, just meet and pray. But when we started thinking, hey, we have to do something, we thought we need to map the city. investigate, because we think a lot, like, hey, I think this, but what's the real facts on the ground? And sometimes we're wrong. So we made something we call Oslo Monitor 1.0. We picked kind of a structure from Doxadeo as a church in South Africa has come further with this. Spiritual lostness, what are the church, the situation for the church in Oslo, and then to social pain, you know, with poverty, homeless, different kinds of those issues, and then cultural brokenness, which is more the systems, the strategy, the business world, education, etc. So we did that and used almost a year to hire in professionals to do the work for us, and we did some of it. And so it was interesting. You know, one of the things is that we had to get in contact with all the churches in Oslo.
That's not easy.
No, especially the immigrants' churches, because they don't have a website. They change the pastors often, so we just have to call around. And it made some impressions on us that, for example, that, you know, we know it's 4.8%. It's good to know. But some of the sad statistics we came out of is like it almost needed 200 churchgoers to see one believer come to Christ in a year. That's like, you know, we need to be better than that. We saw that, you know, we're in Oslo, is it lots of churches, and there's areas where there are few churches. Hey, we need to think, have a strategy about church planting. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, and then also to see the prioritizing, like one of the things people, the big missing link that most pastors said, I'm struggling with evangelism, getting new converts, but it was never on the top three on their priority of money and resources. That's something, you know, and then also with immigration, like we have a problem in Norway, everywhere else in the world with finding out how to do immigration, and to see that the church is not really any better than the rest of society. We need to do something with that. So that's one thing. And then we went on to social pain, seeing that, you know, 25% drop out of high school, never finish. We have some great work. We need to do more of that. 20% of all in Oslo is lonely at all times. There's always 20% of the population. And then, you know, et cetera. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but it was good. Then it gave us kind of a baseline. And so it invited to a launch in 2018, now in January, actually. And asked Mac Peer to come from the States to share a little bit more. And we had about 100 leaders.
Mm-hmm. And Mac Peer is the founder of Movement Day.
Yeah, Mac Peer is the founder of Movement Day. And so we had about 100 plus leaders at the launch. And I think the other ones who've been there longer says that that was the most diverse gathering of Christian leaders that they ever been to in Oslo.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
So that was great from all kinds of places. And from then, we arranged the first, or part of arranging the first pastor's retreat. This wasn't my idea, this pastor's retreat, but one of the pastors. And then now we have like four gatherings we said we're going to be part of arranging every year. And one is a kind of a movement day that is coming up now in the 13th of October, hoping for 200 to 300 leaders. To do a leadership process, to own the city, the pain, the lostness. We have a prayer week every year that we're part of influencing. We have a retreat for pastors and leaders in the spring, but also something called Pentecost for Everyone, where we're doing the immigrant churches together with the white ethnical churches. So that's a little bit of where we are. And we also want to do a project from 2020. For 3 years, focusing on the youth in Oslo, that we hope can be united for tons of churches involved and that. So,
That is phenomenal. I think it's so important to develop trust amongst leaders before any program is set in place. Another thing was you were honest with where your city was at. You didn't assume you knew the needs, but you put in the research to understand the spiritual lostness, the cultural brokenness, and the social pain. Joachim, so you've been a part of a global community of city movement leaders from pretty much every continent on the globe. Can you describe what this community is like and what it's meant to you to hear the stories of God moving around the world?
Yeah, it's been good to get to know people who with the same heart around the world. And at the same time, you know, when you talked about the importance of unity in a city, to know, you know, it's important in a city to think, hey, I'm not the only one believing in the Bible, you know. At the same time, it's nice, you know, when you look in the worldwide, hey, this is happening other places. So I think it's been, most of all, a great encouragement. It's fun to get to know them. They're really, yeah, have great hearts, and they pray for us here. We pray for them. And it's set up that we meet on Skype once a month, and then on some of these movement gatherings, we'll meet and have a lunch and dinner. So it's been encouragement. And I think I've been having some older leaders. I'm not super young. I'm soon 40, but they've been imparting in my life, believing in what we do and supported me. And so, yeah, it's been a good thing for me. And first of all, I never thought of myself as a city leader, you know, in the beginning. I haven't done ministry for more than 6 years in Oslo, but I think it's helped me, giving me a platform to in Oslo quicker than I would have gotten without it. It's for leaders from, I don't remember all the different countries, but it's from South America, North America. We have a couple of people from Africa, some of us from Europe, Australia, and Asia too. India, especially India, has quite a few from there, and Philippines and Hong Kong. So it's quite a diverse group, and it keeps adding on. So it's hard for me to keep up with. And it's spreading. And I think soon we're meeting in Washington for a best practice. And I think there's at least things happening in about 100 plus cities. And the goal is to see this happening in 400 or 500 cities in the year, next years to come. So, and I think it will reach that goal, because it's spreading everywhere I go and hear and meet people. It's something is brewing everywhere, I feel. So it seems like something God is really doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we've talked to over 150 city movement leaders, and really believe that God is moving in a way where there's just greater receptivity to collaboration than many have seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. So as we close, Joachim, what are some pieces of advice that you would give leaders who are just beginning in their city when it comes to city movement work?
Good question. I think, first of all, in the beginning, I didn't dare to take the leadership I should have taken. And it was interesting in the beginning when I kind of got this mandate, you know, it says, Joachim, do you want to be an ambassador for Oslo? And I was like, you know, I don't know if it's me. And then trying to get the people involved, it was hard in the beginning. Like, what is this movement? I don't know. And then I asked God, it's like, why is it so hard? And I felt God says, I've given you leadership, but you're scared of it. You push it to everyone else, the more experienced leaders in town. But I asked you. And from that moment, I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And I just said, hey, let's go there. Things changed. And I'm not a very, like, low confident guy in general, but so it was a little bit strange for me to feel that, because I normally feel quite confident. But just in that setting, I didn't feel that. And I saw that not taking up the role God had given me or wanted me to take was ruining, you know, or not getting things started. So I think that to really dare that, if God has called you, he will give you what you need. Second of all, I think it's important to go slow. Like, we have some business people involved too. They want to do things yesterday, you know, get things done. Pastors are a little bit more, you know, slow moving, and that, and to make sure that the group is not moving beyond the relationship.
That's good.
We're not carrying more than what the relationship can carry. And in general, as older I get, I think it's more and more important to do things thorough, think through, have enough time to pray. Is this really God, or is it just excitement? And I'm very glad we haven't moved quicker than we've done. And to think slowly and then long term. We're not thinking we will change Oslo tomorrow, but have a 40-year plan. How can we invest and change this and not be in a hurry, but go slow? And then I think it's the third key, I would say, is to get ownership. If people don't get ownership, and if the main pastors and leaders in the city don't feel it's theirs, I don't think it will have much effect. And because of that, you need to go slow, and that people need to be part of thing. This is my thing. Because if you do it too professionally, too quick, I think there will be just another thing that someone else will do for us, and I don't think we'll have the same impact. So we've been pretty much, the head main pastors and myself, we've been moving chairs, arranging things, doing all this for free, done all the, you know, the hard work or the crap work, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's important. It's our thing. We're in front. We're we're giving our time, we're giving our energy into this. And then after a while, you can, you know, employ some more people. But I think people need to own it. The key leaders need to own it.
Those are great pieces of advice. Joachim, do you have any last words that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I just thought of one thing because it's easy. I'm married to Americans. I don't mean this bad, but Americans like franchise, you know, like it's a concept. And I like that in one way, but I think it's, you have to be careful to make it like it needs to be your own, like here in Oslo. But we need to own it, but also say, God, what do you want to do in Oslo? Because it always will look different from New York to San Francisco to Portland. And to make this indigenous expression. And that's been very important for us. It's not like an American concept put on us, but it's art, and we need to do it in a way that God wants us to do it in Oslo for Norwegians. And I think that's just important. And even inside America too, it's so diverse and different. What does God want to do? Yeah, it looks different in New York than Portland than Chicago and Miami. So, yeah.
I agree. I mean, there's a reason why God made you Norwegian. There's a reason why you married an American. God is so purposeful in all of our stories. Joachim, thank you for taking the time to share your experience and to share the story of what God's doing in Oslo. Is there any way that we can stay in touch with you and track along with this amazing Oslo movement story?
Yeah, we're one of the things we're moving slow. We don't have a web page yet, but I think it will come when we have the resources to do it properly. We have a Facebook page called Beveg Byen, if you can spell that. It's B-E-V-E-G, and then Byen is B-Y-E-N. So, I mean, there will be some information. It's in Norwegian, but you can probably Google translate it.
Don't worry, everybody. We will put the link in the show notes. So don't worry about the spelling. We will have it in there for you to look at.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can do that. And hopefully it will be more later. But that's one of the things we haven't pushed is commercial. We want to do it just like be us for a while and not get so much publicity around it before it actually works or we have something to show. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you again, Joachim, for taking the time to encourage leaders all around the world and keep up the great work.
Yes, thank you.
Well, everyone, I know I was so encouraged by that conversation with Joachim, and I'm confident that many of you were also encouraged. I know that those principles Joachim shared are gold and are applicable in any city context. If this podcast helped you, make sure to share with a friend. And for many more resources to help celebrate and accelerate the collaborative gospel work happening in your city, check out citygospelmovements.org. Thanks for taking the time to listen, and this podcast isn't possible without you. If there are questions that you would like answered on this podcast or topics you'd like covered, let us know through citygospelmovements.org. We'll see you next time.